On the inside, right in the middle, you'll notice that area called Scripture Surfing. It's also day by day right on the back of your worship bulletin. But we're going to have some readings. This is for you individually. If you're new here, this is for you. This is just an offering for you, a way for you to read through the whole of God's Word and not miss any of it. But it's a way for you to spend time with the Lord and read the whole of His Word. Let Him speak to you. And then as you come here, we'll have readings from each of those chapters that you've looked at. And we'll have messages from those chapters that you've looked at. So we're going to look at this past Thursday and Friday's readings. Let's have some readings from those. And so turn with me to Leviticus chapter 25. You'll want to hold your place there. We're going to look at that in a little more detail in Leviticus chapter 25. And if you're new at this, there's a Bible near you in the chair. And that's right at the beginning of the Bible. You'll see the books of Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus. You want Leviticus 25. Hold your place there. And then let's turn over to 26. And before we do, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, Lord, that it is living, that it is active, that You speak through it, Lord. And we thank You that right now You're about to speak from Your Word, Lord. Lord, would You get me out of the way, Lord? We need to hear from You. And we thank You for this privilege, Lord, that You feed us spiritually from Your Word. Lord, may we receive everything that You have for us with soft and receptive hearts. Lord, and may our hearts be good soil that would bear much fruit from Your Word. May we take whatever You tell us, and Lord, leave here and do it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen to 26, Leviticus 26, verses 3 and 4. God tells us this in His Word. If you follow My decrees and are careful to obey My commands, I will send you rain in its season, and the ground will yield its crops, and the trees of the field their fruit. Your threshing will continue until grape harvest, and the grape harvest will continue until planting, and you will eat all the food you want and live in safety in your land. Doesn't that sound pretty good? That's some blessings. And God just says, I'll bless you. If you'll follow My decrees and are careful to obey My command, it's the same for you and me today. Obedience brings blessing. If you will listen to Him and listen to His Word, and if you will obey, He will bless you. That's how it works. And then in chapter 27, look at verse 30. Toward, right at the end of Leviticus, verse 30. A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. That just reminds me here in my life and of each of our lives, you know, a tithe of everything belongs to the Lord. You know, that just makes me kind of say, I guess I just need to give Him, you know, my best tenth of anything. You know, my time, my talents, my resources. Give Him what's His. Give Him His gifts. And then in Luke, in our New Testament readings, look at Luke chapter 15. This is the last third of your Bible if you're new at this. The New Testament is just that last third right in here. You'll see Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 31. Jesus tells this story of this lost son, and the son comes back. But look at what's said in verse 31 regarding the older brother, because if you're a believer today, this is for you and I as believers. Verse 31, My son, the father said, you are always with Me, and everything I have is yours. That's the case for you. If you're a believer, that's what the Lord would say to you. My son, you're always with Me. You always get to be with Me. I'm always with you. You're always with Me. And all that I have is yours. What's God's? Everything. It's your inheritance. He's your father. He owns it all. You're in the family. You're His child. And all that I have is yours. Then look at 16, verse 10. Jesus said, the law and the prophets were proclaimed were proclaimed until... Oh, I'm sorry, 16:10. Jesus said this, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." How are you doing with all that the Lord's entrusted to you? None of it's yours, none of it's mine. It's all His. We're stewards. How are you doing? If we're faithful with the little, He'll trust us with more and more. Let's look at Psalm 59. If you have time to turn there, I'm going to go ahead and read it. You can just listen if you want. That's kind of in the middle of the Bible, and then you turn backwards a little bit. Psalm 59, verse 1 says this, "Deliver me from my enemies, O God. Protect me from those who rise up against me." You can pray the Psalms back to the Lord. And then Psalm 60, verse 4. "But for those who fear you, you have raised a banner to be unfurled against the bow." Fear the Lord. Fear God. And then we'll turn back to Leviticus 25. And let's look at Leviticus 25. And hear God's voice. Hear God saying to you this morning, "Follow me, not what you see. Follow me, not what you see." You know, I thought about a fun game to play, and if I had gotten it together, I guess I could have done this. But imagine, you've probably played games before when you've been blindfolded. You've got a person that's blindfolded, and maybe you've played a game where somebody's blindfolded, and we've done this before, I think, in youth groups and things, and then you try to guide the person, and you tell them, you know, okay, go up a little more, now take a right, now, and maybe they're trying to get something, and you're trying to guide them to it by your voice. Now, back up, and they hit the chair. Now, stay right there. Now, turn to your left, you know, and... when they're blindfolded like that, they're totally dependent on that voice and that person. And whatever that person wants to do to them, they're going to get to do it to them. That person is caring for that person with that blindfold right now. And you're just trusting this voice that you're hearing. Well, imagine playing a game like that and you have somebody with a blindfold and then you have a couple people over here, and the blindfolded person's here, and you're going to do a test, and you're going to have a couple of people come at one time, walk straight toward that blindfolded person, and you're going to guide them, and they're going to walk, and it's going to look like a head-on collision, but before it happens, you know, you're going to say, "Now turn left, and go straight," and so they avoid the collision, and you've instructed these two people to go. And they're to go the opposite way. And then come on. Now, you'd probably do fine if you were blindfolded, just listening to that voice. You're coming on up, getting kind of close. Now turn left, and you just turn left, and you didn't even know a collision was coming right then. But then imagine if you took the blindfold off. Imagine if that person could see and you're guiding them. And they don't know the instructions of these people over here. From what they see, they're about to have a head-on collision. Now, they have a choice. They can trust your voice, and you're telling them, "Okay, now go. Keep going straight. Keep going straight." Now, they're thinking, I'm headed for a collision. I'm not going to listen to this voice anymore. Forget this voice. And these two people are coming right at them, and you're saying, "Go straight, go straight." But you're about to tell them, "Now turn left." And, you know, they would have missed it. And they've got a choice at that time. When they can see, it's harder. You know, they get dependent on themselves, and then you know what will happen? Those people were instructed to go that way. If this person stops listening to the voice, and I'm going, "Keep going straight," but then they stop, and they may kind of turn to the right, boom, head-on collision. But if they would just not pay attention to what they can see, but pay attention to me, and just listen to me and not even care what they see, but just be heading right toward it. I'm saying, "Keep going, keep going." Then I would say, "Take a left," and the other people were going to go the other way. Everything would be fine. But you just think about that. You think about your relationship with the Lord. And you realize how much He's trying to get you to be totally dependent on His voice. And just to totally listen to His voice and totally depend and trust in what you can't see. And to totally stop looking around at everything you can see and what your circumstances are telling you and what your human logic is telling you and what your reasoning is telling you and what your problem-solving abilities are telling you. And I think God is so much trying to get us totally dependent on Him and His voice and staying focused on what we can't see and just listening and just doing whatever He says. Than dependent on our sight and messing everything up and having all these head-on collisions in our lives because we trust in our own understanding when He has said clearly in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. Look with me at Leviticus 25. Look at verses 18 to 22. God says this. He's given them some instructions about this Sabbath year, and they're to work the land for these 6 years, but then on the seventh year, just let the land rest. And all these thorns and thistles and briars, everything's going to grow up over the land, and just eat what it produces anyway. But just don't do anything to the land. Don't sow and sow your seeds and don't do anything in that seventh year. You say, what? Well, hold on. How are we going to survive in that seventh year? And God's talking about the Jubilee here in this chapter and how there'll be different periods of these 7 years. And then that'll eventually equal the Jubilee. But just look here at these instructions. Just in 18 to 22. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws, and you will live safely in the land. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you will eat your fill and live there in safety. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year if we do not plant or harvest our crops? I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the eighth year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. God is saying, follow me and not what you see. And that'll bring blessing. That'll bring blessing. So, first of all, notice in verse 18, follow me. Follow me. You see that in verse 18. Follow my God's instructions. Follow my decrees and be careful to obey my laws and you will live safely in the land. God is saying, follow me. He's telling them at this time, listen, just do what I say. Follow me. Just take care of the land these 6 years and don't do anything in that seventh year. Trust me. Follow me. And be careful to obey everything I'm telling you. Obey everything I'm saying. Follow me. And then he even throws in the result for us in verse 19. If we'll do this. You know, he says, follow me. And then in 19, he says, you know, well, here's what the result's going to be. If you'll do it, if you'll follow me, here's what the result will be in 19. Then the land will yield its fruit. And you will eat your fill and live there in safety. Wow, that sounds nice. That sounds to be taken care of. That sounds like the abundant life that Jesus is talking about when He says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Follow me. And He gives us the result in verse 19. The result of following is blessing. I missed out on the result of following one time. When we were in New Orleans, and I was in seminary, and I was working at the Maison Dupuis Hotel in the French Quarter on Toulouse and Burgundy, 5-star, beautiful hotel. And occasionally we get some pretty prominent guests in there. And one time, Rod Stewart, and if you don't know him, used to be a rock star back in the 80s and earlier than that, too. He was the guy with the big blonde hair all sticking out in every direction. Anyway, Rod Stewart was going to do a concert at UNO, and so he came to our hotel, and he just got like the master suite, the nicest suite we had just for the day. He didn't even spend the night. I think he was just going to use it to get ready for his concert at UNO. Well, I got the call as a bellman, you know, hey, Derek, you know, go up to room 5 so-and-so. I think it's Rod Stewart. You know, oh, okay, let me get on that one. So I headed up there and thinking I'm going to see Mr. Stewart and walk him down and talk with him about the music business and all these things. And of course, I get there and knock on the door, and a big bodyguard just answers the door, opens up that door and just starts throwing luggage out, you know. But I do hear this strange noise, and as I am getting the bags out, this suite that we had was just filled with mirrors, and I see all these mirrors, and I see that blonde hair standing straight up looking in the bathroom mirror. See that blonde hair stand up, and I see Rod Stewart going, la 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 la. He's going through these scales, warming his voice up, I guess. But anyway, so I get all the way down there and I get to the limousine and I wait there and the guy, the bodyguard guy that I was with, he just said, just wait here, just wait here. And I said, okay. And so, you know, I start waiting, and waiting. And we're supposed to kind of stay busy. We got all these guests coming in. You know, they need me. You know, we're supposed to kind of stay busy. So I start thinking, you know, I had a voice. I had a voice of somebody that said, just stay here. Just wait right here. But I started paying attention to what I could see. And I saw all this activity around me, all this busyness, and how people needed my help. And I saw the hill. You go up this hill, and you know, there are some things you might need to take care of around that hill real quick. And after waiting a long time, I thought, you know what? I better just run up the hill, see if I can get that thing real quick, get back down here. You know. And sure enough, I missed the blessing. I didn't follow the voice. I started looking around, and I started noticing everything I saw, and I started thinking, I'm needed over here. I need to take care of this, and I left my spot for just a moment, ran up the hill, tried to see if this, I can't even remember what it was. I needed to get this thing, whatever. I was going to come right back, and by the time I got back down there, I saw that limousine just pulling off. I don't know what kind of tip he would have given. Who knows? Well, I don't know what kind of blessing. I don't want to know what kind of blessing I missed. We got to listen to that voice. We've got to follow Him. Follow what you see, because there's blessing. There's great blessing in following what you see. Are you aware of the blessings of following Him? Are you aware? Have you tasted of the blessings of following Him? Of being surrendered to Him. Once you taste it, you'll want to follow Him more and more and more. Seems like we were talking about that maybe in one of our guys' studies or something not too long ago. Follow me. Notice in verse 20, not what you see. Look at verse 20. You may ask, what will we eat in the seventh year? If we do not plant or harvest our crops. Well, that's what they see. God says, trust me, work the land these 6 years, don't do anything the seventh year. That's the voice. But the people could easily say, "What? How will we eat? How will we make it? How will we live? What will we do if we do it this way? The way this voice is telling us, what will we do?" And God says, follow me. Not what you see. Notice that. In verse 20. They ask the question. And then finally, notice in those last couple of verses. It's to be carefree. Don't you want to be carefree? Do you want to be worry-free? And wouldn't that be nice? Carefree, worry-free, anxiety-free. Follow me, not what you see, to be carefree. You see the result. You see what happens if we will follow Him and not what we see. In verse 21 and 22, I will send you such a blessing in the sixth year that the land will yield enough for 3 years. While you plant during the eighth year, you will eat from the old crop and will continue to eat from it until the harvest of the ninth year comes in. Follow me, not what you see, to be carefree. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your truth, Lord. We know it's true, but Lord, as I've heard it said before, Lord, we are educated far beyond our obedience. Lord, we know this. We know you want us to follow you and obey you and be very careful to obey everything you say. We know that you speak in a still, small voice. We know that you speak continually through your word. That anytime we read Scripture or hear Scripture, we're hearing from you. Because when Scripture speaks, you speak, God speaks. Lord, we know how to hear your voice. But Lord, forgive us. So often we know what you want, but then we look around. We see things going on around us and we start to lessen our trust in the voice. And we start to put more and more trust in ourselves and what we can figure out and what the problems are telling us and what the circumstances are telling us and what everything in the world is telling us and what we can see is telling us and what people are telling us. And we know oftentimes what the devil is telling us. And Lord, forgive us. We get our eyes off of you and we forego, we let the voice go, Lord, and we have a head-on collision. Lord, we don't want to do that. We don't want to live like that. Help us, Lord, to follow you and not what we see. Jesus, please fix our eyes on you, every one of us. Keep them fixed on you. And Lord, whatever comes our way, Lord, may we not care what we see, but trust in you and what you say. And Lord, we thank you for that wonderful result that we will be carefree. We will see your blessings. Lord, if there's anyone who needs a relationship with you this morning, maybe there's someone and they know that you're calling them to follow you with their lives. There's someone that feels like they have not given their life to you, that they are not yet yours. And Lord, I pray that you would help that person, any person, Lord, here today to acknowledge their need for you, to say to you, Lord, I am a sinner. Lord, I have sinned. And I know your word says the penalty is death and hell. But I thank you, Lord, I trust your word. And how you tell me that you came for me and you went to a cross and you took all of my sins upon yourself and you took my punishment and it's paid in full. And then you're raised from the dead. Lord, I believe all that. And so right now, Jesus, I'm calling on you. I'm tired of doubting. I'm tired of hoping that I'll be in heaven one day. I want to make it secure and I want to make sure of it. And so right now, I tell you, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying for me, and I give my life to you. Save me from my sins. Come into my life. I'm yours, Lord. Help me to be your follower. Lord, maybe there are others that are trying to follow you and wondering if you're leading them to join this church, Lord. Speak clearly to them now. May they hear your voice and do your will. And Lord, for all of us here, Lord, help us to follow you and not what we see, so that we may receive your blessings and be carefree. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen.